Welcome to AIJcast, a podcast featuring conversations and performances at the intersection of art, inspiration, and justice. I'm your host, Marthame Sanders. On this episode, part one of our conversation with Pastor Gabby Cudjoe-Wilkes. Pastor Gabby is a public speaker and brand strategist and is the co-founding co-lead pastor of the Double Love Experience Church in Brooklyn. And she spoke with us from her office overlooking the very busy streets of Brooklyn, New York. Pastor Gabby Cudjoe-Wilkes, welcome to AIJcast.
Oh, my fame. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be with you.
I would love to start by talking about Double Love Experience and how that came to be and what it looks like.
Yeah, 100%. So in my former life, I was a gospel music publicist and strategist and still have that in me. I told Marthame, you really can't turn that kind of stuff off. So I'm a pastor / brand strategist. I actually still do brand strategy consulting on the side. But in October of 2018, my husband and I, who's also a pastor, launched a new church. And it's kind of funny because we used to use the word church planting, and then we realized only church planters know what church planting is.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would talk to my colleagues from other sectors and industries, and they'd be like, you did what? And I'm like, oh, I launched a church. Mm-hmm. So I quickly began to start using entrepreneur language. And like, I think you'll love this, Marthame. So when we were in our first year of our church plant, which was a church launch, we decided to do a preview year, to just kind of figure out, like, do people want what we're, you know, selling, for lack of better words.
Right, yeah.
And I started to hang out with a bunch of entrepreneurs. And so when I was talking to church folks, I would say, we're launching a church and we are in the church plant preview year phase, and people understood it. When I was talking to everybody else in the world, I was like, I'm starting a new thing and we're in the beta stage. And they were like, got you. You know, Double Love is my baby. Mm-hmm. I love the work that I've been able to do with my husband, Reverend Andrew Wilkes. Yeah, so October 2018 to October 2019 was our beta stage, where we had 1 year of preview worship services. So we had 4 worship services across 1 year in a coffee shop in downtown Brooklyn, literally minutes away from the Barclays Center. Mm. People were having coffee and eating food and having like a full-on like worship experience with us, with like straight up like 4-piece band and black style preaching and all of the like theatrics that I love about the black church, but all of the like chillness of Brooklyn at a 5:00 p.m. worship service, which meant folks could like brunch and hang out and still come to church. And it was just amazing.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why we launched the church is because, you know, we really felt passionate about the need for folks to be able to have congregations where they live that spoke to their needs. And so we're named the Double Love Experience after the Double Love Commandment in Scripture. Mm. So the Double Love Commandment shows up in 3 of the 4 Gospels. It also shows up for my Jewish brothers and sisters in the Torah. And it is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That is the Matthew version, Matthew 22:37-40. And so we named our church after that commandment because we really were endeavoring to do that in the world. Mm. And loving God with your heart, your mind was critical for us, right?
Yeah.
My husband and I are kind of brainiacs. And so we attract brainiacs. And listen, you don't have to have a degree to your name to be a brainiac. Just folks who love to read, love to ask questions, love to interrogate. New York attracts those kinds of folks, as do other regions, but certainly New York City. And so, you know, we wanted to do church where folks who were like, gonna like be Googling you at the moment you preach if you say something crazy and like hold you to it after service. Those are the folks we rock with. So we're like, yes, you can love God with your mind. You can love God with all those things. After our preview year for a year, we actually found a building in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, began a leasing contract with them. It's a black box theater and started our regular weekly worship services on November 3rd, 2019.
Mm.
And then we got 4 months of bliss where it just felt like everything was connecting in the world.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened March 2020.
Yeah, we've heard a little bit about that.
You know, that little little thing that's just been globally impacting us. What I'm grateful for and proud of is that, thankfully, the work we had done in our beta preview year and our 4 months of regular operation were able to hold us, to give us enough of a foundation where folks knew we existed. They knew we were a church. And so we made the shift with the rest of the world online, and we've been online ever since. Prayerfully, soon it'll be safe enough to gather. I've got colleagues that are gathering even now. We're still not comfortable with that yet. Our space is smaller than most. It's hard to have people safely in a space that only seats 100 people. So when you start talking 6 feet distance and you start talking staff and crew, there's just not enough space for folks. But we're still kicking, and people are still rocking with us online. So it's been a beautiful journey.
I love the, for lack of a better word, the tagline for Double Love Experience: worshiping, thinking, loving, justice-oriented community.
Yeah.
I feel like you've talked some about thinking, and maybe you want to talk more about that. I would love to hear more about each of those nodes. And I think there's this problem that we have, and I don't, it may be a uniquely American problem, but maybe not, of like, well, let's break down each of those separately when they really kind of run into each other well.
Yeah.
And there's overlap. So I would love to just hear you talk about that tagline and what the fullness of all that means to you.
Yeah, thank you for that. The tagline is also on our banner that stands behind us when we preach. And so we use it in our service, but also when we're in the community, we take that same pop-up banner in the community, and people often kind of, you know. So the heart, mind, soul, neighbor, and you are literally from that scripture. And it's just kind of like our way of distilling that long scripture into a mantra. But the worshiping, justice-seeking community is really intentional, because there's often a divide, not that we want one to be, but there's often a divide between like justice-centered Christians, like folks who really identify themselves as people who are looking to like carry out justice and rewrite the unjust ways of the world. There's usually a divide between those folks, at least in the Black church, and folks who really just love the act of like worship, like really like demonstrative dancing and singing and preaching of church. And I'm the kind of person who loves both, right?
And that's absolutely not a Black church divide only. I mean, that's absolutely there in the white church as well. I mean, white pastors get criticized all the time for being too, quote unquote, political when they use words like justice.
And so for us, we really see the work of justice as an act of worship. That's how we try to re-narrate the two. It's actually a way of worshiping God is by doing what Christ would do if Christ were walking the earth, right? And of course, it's a very like Luke 4:18, you know, I've come to seek liberation for the oppressed and let the oppressed go free. And the reason why that's there is because it's our hope to kind of subversively let people know you don't have to choose here, because I love being in the streets. I love being an ally for organizations that are doing work. I love doing the work myself. And I also really love the Sunday worship experience, and I don't want to have to choose. And I actually think that it's a false dichotomy, and we're giving people false binaries when both are true. And there's a lot of folks who function in both worlds, but they kind of put on different hats based on what space they're in. So it's our attempt to signal to people who are looking for that kind of space that we exist. It's been kind of doing its subversive work. We tend to attract organizers, academics, younger folks, young families. We have some like baby boomers and Gen Xers. We have some millennials. We have a lot of Gen Zers. Like, just missed the mark. Like, they like to joke with me. They're like, not Pastor Gabby, I'm not a millennial like y'all. I'm like, you missed the cutoff by like 2 years, Miss or Mr. 25, 26 year old. But I get it. You don't want to be, that's fine. You don't want to do it. So, you know, so it's kind of interesting just to see how that animates itself in terms of who feels welcome, especially in this year of being virtual, the kinds of folks that live across the nation, but who resonate with like being able to have a really embodied worship experience on a Sunday and also like be able to be very clear that justice work is an act of worship. And you may miss a few Sundays because you're out there in the streets, and that's worship too.
Pastor Gabby Cudjoe-Wilkes on AIJcast. We'll be back to more of our conversation in just a moment, but first, a quick word. As always, I encourage you to visit the AIJcast website, AIJcast.com, which is where you'll find links to our artists, their news, information, and products. You can, of course, find out more about Pastor Gabby Cudjoe-Wilkes and the Double Love Experience Church there as well. And I also want to give a shout out to past guest Amethyst Kia, whose new album Wary and Strange is on the way, and you can pre-order that album right now. We have links to these and so much more on our website. Just go to aijcast.com. And now, back to more of our conversation with Pastor Gabby Cudjoe-Wilkes.
I love how you talk about there's this subversive teaching that goes on, you know, the branding or witness, depending on kind of those groups that you're in, that some folk will gravitate towards that word worship. Some folk will gravitate towards that word justice. And if they gravitate towards either of those, they can't help but see the other.
Exactly.
And you've already let folk know, like, this is what we're about.
Yep.
It's that founding DNA, right? It's just right there at the very beginning. Like, when people show up, they need to know right away, these are two parts of who we are, because this is who God is and who God wants us to be.
Yeah.
I love that. And I also love what you're saying about the way it pops up in other places where we bifurcate ourselves, where we separate ourselves out, where there's a compartmentalization or there's this cultural commuting that happens of people saying, well, I can be like this in a church space and I can be like this with my friends. I can be like this on Saturday night. I can be like this on Sunday morning.
Yep.
And you're really kind of helping to deconstruct that and say, well, yep, it's all part of a whole cloth. You can't tear the cloth in two.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the neighbor and you part in that clause is important to us as well. So we often talk about, that means love your neighborhood. Embedded in that kind of like work of justice and outreach is caring about folks that live right near you, mm-hmm, who you could very easily ignore, especially in a city like New York where nobody knows their neighbors unless they want to.
Right.
Because you could very easily like never encounter you. I lived in a building a couple of years ago and I saw the people on the second floor like once in the 5 or 6 years they were there, because you just don't have to know your neighbor.
I think cities get targeted with that a lot. I don't think it's isolated to cities. I live in an entering suburb of Atlanta. I mean, when you come into our neighborhood, it looks like a suburban neighborhood with little homes and all that. But yeah, the number of neighbors that I actually know,
yep,
is very small.
Yep.
And that makes me think of this interesting dynamic of wanting to start a church in a neighborhood because of the need for people to be connected to what's happening in their neighborhood and the importance of neighbors. And then shifting to this online thing where now people are joining you from literally all over the world, right?
Yeah.
So what is that neighborhood dynamic like with the online experience, with Double Love Experience?
I mean, we've lost a lot of the local nature,
yeah,
of gathering, which makes me a little sad. And it also is interesting because, you know, we're now looking at Summer 21, maybe trying to do some pop-up things in, you know, the city. And the funny thing is, I'm now very aware that we've got Double Love folks who don't live in New York.
Right.
And so I almost feel a little uncomfortable, like, doing pop-ups in the park or whatever this summer.
It was nice knowing you. See ya.
Yeah. It's like
ghosting them. Yeah.
We had an interesting experience for the Lenten season. So for the past 3 Lenten seasons since we've been a church, we've always done pop-ups in the subway station and done Ashes to Go and given the imposition of ashes to folks on their commutes.
Right.
And so this year for Lenten season 21, we did a prayer walk, which was like a socially distanced way of not, and we didn't actually impose ashes. We just walked around with signage that said, you know, today's Ash Wednesday, you know, can we pray for you? We had a QR code where they could click it and get information, mm-hmm, but we didn't impose any ashes. Yeah. But one of the ways that we kind of got at the fact that now we've got this global community is we pre-recorded a podcast prayer, my husband and I, mm-hmm, and put it on our podcast. And then we told folks, like, whatever city you live in at this time, go find a park and make, mm-hmm, this signage. And we all have the same signage.
Nice.
Go out at this time of day in your time zone, or if you want to sync up to the East Coast time zone, we'll do it all together. Press play on this podcast so you can hear the prayer we would have prayed if we were with you. Dot, dot, dot. You know, and we had some folks do it in California. Some folks did it in Atlanta. Some folks did it in Nashville. And then even within New York, our Manhattan folks chose to stay in Manhattan. Our Brooklyn folks did it in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit of an experiment. Lenten season happens in the winter. So some folks were intrigued, but just weren't going to get outside and, sure, in the cold. And sure, we respect that.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, things like that where it's like, I don't want to neglect the local nature of what we do, mm-hmm, but it's kind of like, how can that extend to people who have now built a spiritual home with us who don't live here? I think we're just trying different things out about how we can like give them the tools,
yeah,
and give them the opportunity to kind of create that where they are while also doing the kind of physical local work in our city.
Yeah.
It's all experiment, but I was pretty happy with how it worked for the Lenten season. That was our first time of taking a stab at that.
Well, the church buzzword for that is missional, right? Mm-hmm. This idea that people are out doing things where they are and having an impact where they are. I'm wondering if that kind of founding DNA of Double Love Experience gave you an ability to adjust in the face of COVID in a unique way, and how that might be helpful as we come out of this into whatever is beyond.
Yeah, I think it probably did. It's hard for me to separate what did and didn't work because we were living it.
Yeah.
I honestly think what helped us the most with our transition is that even when we were launching, we always launched knowing that we needed a space that would allow us to connect virtually. Yeah. So that's what saved us.
So you were already doing some of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. So when we were looking for spaces, if the spaces didn't have the ability to do Wi-Fi or whatever, like, we turned them down, which folks thought we were crazy because real estate in New York is really tough. But we were just like, that actually X's out. I mean, our first preview worship service, we had 400 folks watching online and 80 people in the building. But that means we had a reach of 500 folks on the first day. Right. Whereas if we didn't have online, we would have had a reach of 80 people. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think that honestly is what helped us shift. Mm. We didn't have to recreate the wheel in terms of accessing folks virtually. We did have to recreate the wheel with a lot of things, but not that. Yeah. And there are congregations that in my consulting work that I work with who were far more well advanced than us, who hadn't put that kind of structure in place, and they really struggled.
Yeah.
Having that already in place gave us the space, because the biggest challenge for us was engagement. Because we were so new, I wouldn't say that we had members. We had, like, people who visited us regularly who liked us. We didn't necessarily have people who were like, regardless of come what may, you know, Double Love is my church. You know, we'd only been, you know, weekly for 4 months.
Yeah.
So that was our challenge of like, okay, now how do we make sure that people feel supported and a part of a community when now we can't do the coffee hour and the conversation afterwards and like sell them on this new church that didn't exist a year ago?
The thing that occurs to me is that part of being justice oriented is about having empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Having empathy in the midst of a virtual experience means that you've got to find a way to recreate that empathy and that empathetic experience in a virtual space, because the non-empathetic thing to do, the callous thing to do, is to continue to gather in person or to say, we're done until this crisis passes. And neither of those are acceptable, right?
And it would have killed us. Like, I mean, as a new start, that would have just been a completely new relaunch for whenever people reopen, which we still don't know when that's going to be.
I'm also curious about, you talked about how the embodied worship experience is so important, and then to shift that into an online situation. Tease that out for me a little bit, if you would. What does that look like for people? What does that look like for y'all?
Yeah, so we took 3 months where we furloughed our band and just said, everybody stay home. We're going to use past recordings and figure out what's safe. And then in June of 2020, we went back into the theater that we had been renting with our band. Mm. My husband and I, we were a team of eight. So it was our video person, four-piece band, sound person, my husband and me. And that was important for us because even though folks couldn't be physically there, we wanted them to know that there was still an effort of curating this. Mm. You know, I have a music background, so gospel music and kind of the way that it uplifts people is really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And our services are really a mixture of like music and the word, like music and the message, for lack of better words. Mm-hmm. And so we have had our band, they come in fresh every week since June to record our worship services. We pre-record just for the sake of quality, but we do record every week. So every week is a fresh service. And so people at home, we say things in the mic, like, stand up in your living room. We say things in the mic, like, hey, like, we know you're multitasking right now, but put that skillet down while you're cooking and focus on the fact that it's Sunday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we do our best to give cues that this still matters and that people can have experiences in their homes that, of course, are not the same as being physically together, but that are more than just getting a sermon every week.
Pastor Gabby Cudjoe-Wilkes, you can find out more about her and the Double Love Experience Church at the website doubleloveexperience.org. On our next episode, part two of our conversation with Pastor Gabby Cudjoe-Wilkes. AIJCast is made possible through the support of listeners like you. We can only do what we do because of that support. So please do take just a moment and go to our website, AIJCast.com, and click on the link that says support. And we do love to interact with you on social media. We are there on a number of platforms where our handle is shockingly AIJcast. Our theme music comes courtesy of our house band Marred Fame. And we are engineered, mixed, and produced by the always garrulous Al Mudeef, who explains why he and his entourage never show up when invited.
We didn't impose.
And I'm your host, Marthame Sanders, encouraging you to go, rather stay put, create some beauty of your own, and remember that the world isn't truly beautiful until it's beautiful for all. Until next time, justice and peace!